Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us today as we celebrate the launch of Whatever Happened to the New Age. Are you having a good time yet? Well, we do have a lot to celebrate. And since celebrations are supposed to be fun, I just thought I would check to see if we've accomplished that little goal yet. It's an exciting moment, and I am delighted that all of you have decided to celebrate this book launch with us. I know it was pretty early for some of you and quite late for others of you, so thank you. I also want to thank those who have shared their experiences while working on this project. Indeed, these are actually precious moments, and most of you will remember them with fondness and perhaps even some joy. Of course, there were several moments in this project, weren't there, Christy? Yes, and after all the hard work from our volunteers, we have a tangible physical book. Soon we will have the ebook available as well, and that is due primarily to the dedicated efforts of Christy and Pam McKinney. So thank you, thank you, thank you. As I mentioned in our high donors or in our event last week, this project has been an arduous task. Indeed, the fruit simply could not have ripened without the physical and moral support of all of you. So again, thank you. Today, we are celebrating the full blossoming of all our efforts. Now, I also promised to those in attendance last week that if they returned this week, I would reveal the secret of how this book came to be named. And I'm sure you're all sitting on pins and needles, since the saying goes, anxiously awaiting to glean this informational tidbit. Well, actually, I thought about playing a little game where each of you could submit your own projection about the origin of the book's name in the chat box. Then we could read aloud the responses, which might even generate a little mirth. You know, joy is good. This has been a serious project for all of our helpers. And now, our celebration, it is time to wipe those furrowed brows soft and open into a mirthful heart state. Take my word on this. Joy is good for you. So let's see some smiles. Yes. So I want to take you back to 2019, when we actually began laying plans for the book. The Perpetuity Project was begun, which has largely funded this book project. And some of you will likely recall that originally we had planned to call the book Handbook for a New Age. Of course, initially, I had a somewhat different type of book in mind. I was looking ahead to what I thought spiritual aspirants would need to know in order to actually draw forth the very best of the arising potentialities for this new age, the seemingly long-awaited Aquarian Age. Indeed, some of you have been waiting to enter the Aquarian Age for about 60 years now. Well, clearly, the universe is doing its part by supporting all those brilliant constellations whose energy fields Earth travels through and encounters. Yet, as some of you are discovering, humanity also has a role to play. As you may recall from several of the more memorable pop songs of the late 1960s and early 70s, the shift into the Aquarian Age was set forth in a highly idealized manner, wasn't it? For the most part, the New Age was simply predicted to be one of abiding peace, love, kindness, and global community. All humans had to do was simply sit back and enjoy the ride. Well, some of you likely remember those days. They were fun and exciting, if not all that grounded and practical. Yet you may also recall that those making the predictions forgot to include the reactionary backlash that humans always tend to wield when they must face change, particularly when they feel that the impending change is not optional. Of course, this paradigm shift is not optional, at least not for humanity. It must go the way the planet goes, like it or not. You see, negotiating this intersection is not up for a vote, is it? Yet even so, facing unsolicited change is not what humanity tends to do well. Rather, folks resort to raising a collective resistance, as if taking such a stance could change the plans of the cosmos. Well, perhaps the hippie generation actually got some of it right, at least insofar as potentiality is concerned. Yet, looking back now, the case history turned out quite different from the predictions initially uttered. While a major paradigm shift is underway, unfortunately, the backlash factor has been much greater than could have possibly been seen back then. Indeed, the astrological shift into the Aquarian age has thus far been a bit of a bumpy ride, and frankly, I think there may still be a few more bumps ahead. That said, for many of you, it has only been in the past couple of months that the incoming Aquarian energies, at least those most palpable, have seemed more uplifting, perhaps even hopeful. Indeed, the past decade has played host to a pretty rough journey, and for people everywhere. While the last few years may have seemed as if some grand crescendo of intensity was building, we have not yet come to the climax. The world at large still does not know how to integrate and apply the newly experienced cosmic energy streaming from the constellation of Aquarius. And frankly, that tends to make life on Earth a bit messy, doesn't it? Well, as you will discover from the book, the chaos of this time is, well, not altogether unexpected, or it shouldn't be. You see, every age-to-age transition is tricky to negotiate for those making the planetary journey. While this one may indeed seem like a rough journey, you just don't remember the conditions you faced during prior age-to-age transitions. Now, all things considered, that is probably a blessing. Well, clearly, things would go smoother if humans were able to grasp the bigger picture and align with it. Indeed, rather than resisting it, exploring its possibilities might just be a better option. It is probably important to recall that humanity has likely been resisting change for a couple hundred thousand years now. Of course, earlier humans simply did not experience anywhere near the number of changes in a course of a given lifetime that people today do. The technological revolution, which is still continuing at breakneck speed, has radically changed the pace of almost every aspect of human life. Now, while this is truly a fascinating topic, I won't go into it more here, since the book has a chapter dedicated to the rapidly accelerating trajectory of change with which humans are now attempting to cope. The bottom line is that change is happening so fast that humans simply cannot keep pace with it. So what do? They resist it. Although not very effectively. Of course, 200,000 years is a period long enough to build up quite a reservoir of resistance, isn't it? This is particularly so in light of the fact that Earth is also undergoing a population explosion of exponential dimensions. The net result is that there are simply billions more individuals resisting today than, say, 100,000 years ago, or 1,000 years ago, for that matter. Hopefully, this book will stimulate some deeper insights on this process as well. While such a massive population expansion could provide both an impetus for and the source of needed planetary adjustments, it seems that humanity has not yet awakened to these greater possibilities. I'm referring to the list of qualities originally predicted for the Aquarian Age, such as greater harmony and peace, kindness, cooperation, and mutuality. And at least to date, humanity has merely repeated and perhaps reinvigorated its penchant for resistance. So early in 2019, when Kathleen had only an inkling of our co-creating a book, she began talking with the publisher she used for the Matter of Mind book. She was trying to give the publisher an idea of what she thought the book would involve. Well, the publisher was actually quite excited about the prospect of another book from us. So she asked Kathleen what the title would be. And when Kathleen said, "Handbook for a New Age," the woman launched into quite a tirade on how inappropriate the title was. Indeed, she was adamant that, quote, "No one uses the term New Age anymore. It went out with the 60s. Well, after the phone call, Kathleen was somewhat disheartened. And turning to me, she said, "Master, whatever happened to the New Age?" I didn't say a word and just let the question steep in her consciousness. Indeed, that question bounced around in her mind for a couple of months before a light bulb finally came on. So there you have it. The title is a mystery no longer. Well, as you can probably sense, the energy of this title is a bit different from the prior title. And thus, we came up with a book that is quite different from what was originally planned. Indeed, I think the final rendition is probably more approachable for general readership than the first would have been. While it may be helpful for a reader to have been a student of mine before tackling this text, it is not a necessary requisite. Indeed, that fact may actually give the current rendition a somewhat wider curb appeal, so to speak. Yet perhaps the most salient information to share with you today is why we wrote this book. Now, those of you who have spent time with the transcript know that the scope of this book is very broad and not, it turns out, a step-by-step set of instructions for negotiating the current paradigm shift. Yet the driving question behind its purpose has remained the same. What will help humanity rise to a high enough level to actually manifest the potentialities this precious new age will present? You see, the purpose has not changed. What changed, perhaps, is the potential audience, as well as the book's farther-reaching scope. As a spiritual teacher, the question I had to answer dealt with how humanity might synthesize the closing age in such a way as to harvest its most pertinent teachings and throw off the excess karmic baggage the Piscean Age left. Yet there is within this purpose a potential problem. Indeed, how shall humans actually synthesize an entire astrological age and find the capacity to integrate it all while being bound to a few years of a single lifetime? Indeed, most people cannot recall the 40-some lifetimes they normally experience in a given astrological age. And well, therein lies the potential problem I mentioned. Since people simply do not remember even the major lessons from their greater life stream, no real experiential-based synthesis is possible. So even though experiential learning may be the most powerful means of harvesting a full body mind learning, it simply cannot be carried over lifetime to lifetime. Yet a functional synthesis is surely needed if humanity is to ensure against simply repeating old mistakes in a new time. So how might I help humanity, or at least some humans, face an assignment that seems utterly impossible? That is a provocative question, isn't it? Well, in order for humanity to synthesize the learnings of an entire astrological age, it must find a way to exit the small picture, that is, one's personal stories, and enter the much vaster scope of planetary evolution. You see, lacking an ability to see the current paradigm shift from this vaster perspective, any apparent synthesis would likely fail due to being limited to a given time and cultural prejudice. So, as responsible planetary agents to the Aquarian age, how shall you accomplish all that synthesizing? Indeed, where shall you find the necessary information presented in such a way as to benefit you in what is surely the most important assignment of this new age? Perhaps you could read volumes and volumes of historical accounts of the prior age, but it may be difficult to find material that sees history in the spiritual context of an evolving planet, indeed, an evolving universe. Yet because the assignment of realizing a new age is essentially a spiritual one, maintaining a spiritual context is essential. However, this spiritual context cannot be confined to any single religion or tradition because the planetary experience is much vaster than any of the traditions it supports. So where, pray tell, are you going to find resources that address the history of an entire astrological age from the perspective of the planet's spiritual evolution? Well, enter stage left, I believe. Whatever happened to the new age? In the first part of the book, I try to give you my synthesis of the Piscean Age, both in terms of the wonders it brought about, as well as the points where the needed mark was probably missed. If you bear this in mind as you read the text, I think you will achieve much greater benefit than if you simply wade through its pages goldlessly. Well, in the second part of the book, I offer an assessment of what might be possible in terms of spiritual evolution during the Aquarian Age. You see, the evolutionary process itself must shift and change with the shifting of the cosmic energies that support the process. Indeed, this is the case with every age-to-age transition. You see, consciousness is remarkably fluid. Therefore, as Earth encounters changing frequencies, they will always be reflected in the creative awareness that greets them. How could it possibly be otherwise? Technology will change. Notions about human consciousness and humanity's shared potential will also change. So will human interactions with themselves, with other living beings, and with the living planet that hosts life in this tiny molecule of the cosmic whole. Indeed, it is likely that during this new age, humanity's relationship to the very universe will shift as new and relatable understandings of the cosmos emerge, shift, and expand. So, in the second part of the book, I attempt to place before you some of the possibilities that an evolutionary leap in consciousness might present. Indeed, if you have an idea of where you are going, the trip is easier and certainly more rewarding. How shall humans evolve in coming centuries? How shall they cope with apprehending the true nature and evolutionary possibilities of the cosmos, or for that matter, consciousness? You see, the new frontier for the Aquarian Age is consciousness, isn't it? And since consciousness was and is modeled on the cosmos, one level cannot be truly understood unless the other is. Now, if you think the leaps in consciousness made in the Piscean Age were large, just wait until you see what the Aquarian Age will bring forth. Indeed, if humanity is to embody, no, ensoul, the potentialities of the Aquarian Age, humans must discover and realize the next level in the evolution of human consciousness. Thus, if you are asked what this book is about, you can tell the questioner that it is a guide to realizing and a compass for attaining the further evolution of human consciousness. Just that. So, welcome to whatever happened to the New Age. And to answer that question, the New Age is alive and well in each and every one of you. Indeed, it is rooted in the ground of potentiality upon which each of you walks, lives, relates, grows, and evolves. How can you not know of its deep and abiding presence within you? To deny its presence is to deny, or perhaps cancel, your own next step in evolution, and quite possibly even that of the planet. So live well, dear ones. Live your life as if it is the very life upon which the planet depends. Indeed, that may be so. I love you, precious beings. I bless you. And I celebrate the spiritual journey of this amazing cosmos at all levels and in all ways. So be it, and happy reading.